Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Sisterhood's in the house. This is a very special episode of Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour. Best Friend Edition with Frangela and my best friend of 40 years, Dr. Wanda von Kleist. Yay! Noted psychologist, thank God.
Because we need that help up in here.
Yeah. Ooh. You guys were just talking about Trump stress and over and self-medicating. I'm like, I don't know what you mean.
I've got it under control.
I'll say there's a lot of estrogen in the room, and then you guys are here too.
Yeah. Hi, Travis Bone. You brought all the estrogen, you sweet little angel. You and Francis, of course, you're a pusher. You pushed your gin cocktail.
He did. It's delicious.
A pink gin and tonic.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Angela, let me explain. Wanda, let me explain about touring with Frangela. And Angela has a rule during the post show. She said every 3 or 4 glasses of Chardonnay, I need just a little snack.
Just a little snack.
Could be an epic happy hour. Because
I'm just saying, if you want your happy hour to be happy,
right?
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Help me help you.
It's a full bottle of stuff.
I know. This is what I like too. This is why, you know, Steffi's the best host in the world. Because not only did you bring down like a bottle, you brought a bottle of wine to put near me so I didn't have to have that panic. Even an instant do I have to reach over there to get the wine?
Yeah. Oh, no. I came prepared. We each have our own.
Yeah.
Okay. My best friend, Dr. Wanda, is here from Australia and going back soon. And so we had this idea because, first of all, in honor of this fucking awesome new female wave in Congress, these awesome young women, Wanda has 2 daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? Not just that, just the sisterhood we're seeing in Congress.
Yes.
I have some clips I got to play for you guys when Jane Fonda was here talking about her friendship with Lily Tomlin. And, you know, what Grace and Frankie is sort of based on. And so I was like, oh, my God, we have to do a best friend. Yeah.
Yes, it has to happen.
Because traveling with you guys, I got to say, there is a little bit of a force field. Like, you speak, you're almost like Nell. Like, you just...
Bit we do.
I know. We do. Wanda and I just did Nell dances in the living room.
Oh, nice.
MSNBC.
I speak Nell and she speaks Elfin.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
So I go, Adawai, Mom. Pa,
no, you're very sweet to me because I am your white lady when we travel.
You are. You've noticed, though, that this thing that people don't understand, it's actually on planes, it's the one place we don't talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Because she falls immediately asleep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I saw that.
And people don't believe that. They're always like,
but they have
that's
way better.
The one place we don't talk.
They're like driving Miss Steffi because they have way better, like, you know, they travel more. So they have to sneak me into their section.
Yeah. Like, I have to put her in between us.
Francis
Wanda.
Has to go first because Francis can talk and anyone into anything.
Yeah.
Both of you could.
No. She's really good at that. I'm more the muscle and the, I don't know, implied threat. But she, so she goes first. Then you put our white lady in between.
Listen, you and I, went through many a bar fight, and you have a good rule. You don't have to actually cut a person, but they have to think that you fucking will.
That's right.
And you have to think it. You have to feel it.
Yes.
You have to know in your bones that you're willing to do this time.
We all have acting background. You just have to sell it.
Yeah,
that's
you have to believe it.
Right?
Sell it.
You have to look at somebody and go, I can do 5 to 10 just to smack you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once they feel that from you, the fight usually doesn't happen.
Right.
Usually.
Exactly. Wanda and I met each other at USC Theater.
Yes.
Oh, wow. We took singing lessons from the same singing teacher, and we both can't sing for shit.
So you both sound like Fred Sanford or
Tina Turner.
I don't mean to know my hair off.
I don't even try to sing anymore. Seriously, it's
I don't
awful.
Mean all the way home.
No.
I let Fred Stephanie
that's
do it
Fred
for
Sanford.
I just feel,
what?
I don't want you to get sued by the school. I don't want you to get, because, so you both, you
no,
can sing, Wanda, come
no,
on.
No, I cannot sing a note.
Really?
Not a
yeah,
note.
I heard that, because I went after you, as
God.
I was like, Jesus Christ, is someone put a coyote in a blender? I thought I was bad.
And our problem
that's
is
our best
that,
friend got
our problem is that we are black, and so people expect us. Oh, y'all, yeah. y'all big black ladies. I know y'all. Here we go have some good gospel.
They and just like, assume it.
They just assume it, and that's it's cool.
like
we can't, neither one of
can
us can sing.
And we're like, no.
No. But we're funny. We're funny.
That's your voice. It really is female friendship. We're, of this length, how many, you guys have been for how long?
21 or 22
somewhere
years.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
Short timers.
We drank a long time.
40 years. We pulled the rope up in the fort a long time
nice.
Ago.
Wait.
Yes.
40
years.
But it really is like a, because you guys are very sweet to me on tour, but I really am just like a, I can't, it's hard to get through the force field. It's like a,
we it's like a, you guys too, you have twin speak, I bet. Are there things that you're inside jokes?
But and I hear you in the room next to me. You never stop talking. You never stop enjoying each other. You're just like, okay, well, girl, you know what? I can remember that. I was like, wow, they really, really like each other.
We really, really, that's the thing. We really, truly are friends. And people are always shocked about it.
Right. Well, you guys have that too. I remember we came up to the airport. It came up to us and you're like, well, you guys were talking, what were you talking about? And we were talking about what kind of fries we preferred. And I could see, I was like, truly, you're going to be, and you can see when people actually ask us what we're talking about, and we tell them, you can see the interest just wave.
The life force drains.
And they're like, how long are you talking about that? Like 45 minutes.
Yes. Oh, I can attest to that.
Yeah. Like we were debating shoestring versus steak versus waffle.
And what kind of person that makes you, if you like either one of them.
But if you like all of them.
Yes.
See, then that's the thing. That's a whole other discussion.
Okay. Right.
And we didn't even get to that. No. And we spent like an hour on it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What did you play? Okay, so we both endured John Blankenship, the USC, the legendary USC acting, mm-hmm. who was, we went in Edinburgh, you know, Edinburgh, first of all, you pay them
for
to work
experience.
24/7 and wow. like paint, like I was painting a screw on the stage at like 3 a.m.
Oh my God.
And like he just screamed at all of it. You don't know dick about theater. He was just flamboyant, like.
So
oh, 2-for-1 sale on makeup? Like, oh, I bet that was nothing on the hanger. Like, mm-hmm. you just
oh
paid
gosh.
To get abused, right?
Yeah.
Were you, like, instant friends? Or did you, like, have some hangouts? Or how'd you guys, do you remember? Were you drunk?
We were sort of stumbly-bumbly friends.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we always tell the story. She did the regular happy hour, but because we have this weird, freaky thing. I had a bunch of friends in college at USC. Mm-hmm. She was just sort of one of them. But we had dinner with my parents when they came out for my, you know, before I graduated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We went out to dinner different times with different friends. Anyway, tell the story about my dad.
It was amazing because her dad recognized our friendship long mm-hmm. before we even had a clue. Aww. Because mm-hmm. it was right before he passed.
Yeah.
And he and I were walking across this bridge. And we just had this conversation as if it was the most normal thing. And I was, 20 or something.
Right.
And he was much older. And he just turned to me and said, you know, you're always going to be with Stephanie. You're always going to be
aww.
Her friend.
Yeah.
And basically said, you two are going to be best friends for life. And I was, you know, polite and I was listening to mm-hmm. him. And it was one of those kind of bizarre experiences,
yeah,
but where
right.
it also
yeah.
feels right and
right.
good.
Right.
So I just was like, okay. And then I remember I shared it yeah. with Stephanie. And it was amazing that he actually knew that far before. We were stupid little college kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. She was probably like, I don't, really? I don't even like, she's not even like Theta Chi. I don't, she's like a Delta. I don't know. What?
That's sweet.
No, but my dad passed like a month later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, so he had some kind of, it was a magical night.
Yeah.
You know, he and I danced and it was just this warm, loving feeling, but it was just so matter of fact. He just saw something.
You radiate.
It was weirdly like passing the baton or something.
Yeah, no, but you radiate love for her, for Stephanie.
Oh,
like,
meeting
you, like, we've met a lot of your friends and I will tell you that you just, and not, they're all great.
Yeah.
They're
wonderful. Fabulous.
But like you just have this other level of warmth. It's just obvious.
Well, and also Francis and I have something in common that our best friend has giant porn tits.
Yeah.
That always helps.
It's helpful.
No, she, Wanda was saying, not that, I'm the only lesbian here. I don't mean to turn this lesbianic. But Wanda was like, Angela let me touch her breast the other day, and I understand what people mean now when they want to touch
no,
mine.
No, I was like, seriously, I'm kind of getting it now.
I feel nothing.
Go ahead.
I don't feel things. So it's totally
and now we're
fine.
Back at theater school doing course lines.
Yes,
yeah. I feel nothing.
Well, you know
nothing.
What? Theater's great. But theater brought us together, too.
Yes.
Second City.
Second City.
Yeah.
And tell your story for people that haven't heard it. I know
we used to live upstairs. Angela moved into our building, and our building was like 2 blocks from the theater, 2.5 blocks.
Francis took cabs.
You know what? I knew you were going to say.
I was. She I would did. Catch she a cab. Would take cabs. We lived
from
2 blocks
City,
away
from Second City to my front door. And back.
Wow. Someone you so you had diva tendencies early on.
Early. And I was known on the Well Street as the Queen of Cabs.
Right. And Second City at that time. Second City at that time was like, what's a rider? Who has a rider? What is that even? What do you mean?
I had a rider.
We pay you 4 cents a week.
I had a rider for exactly. When I went to Toronto Second City. Thanks, Mom.
And Angela moved in upstairs, and we met really officially on the stairs of our building. And she was like, you want to go see a movie? And I was like, sure. And we went to go see a movie, and the lights went down, and we turned to each other and really just started to
talk through the whole movie.
Through the whole movie.
I don't remember
movie.
What movie it was.
I don't either.
I don't
so
think
you bonded by annoying
it.
The fuck out of everybody.
Everybody.
That's right.
Yeah. And we have continued to do so.
I'm proud that we
I'm laughing that you do a Nell thing. Because we were watching MSNBC as we do. And we just started doing some old lady aerobic class that just turned into Met Nell.
Exactly.
We just were like, take a piano. Yes.
I have a really a lifelong OG, one of my original gangster bitches, Shotzi. Who's white? That's a whole other thing. But because people always think she—I guess you thought she was black.
I thought she was black
thought
for
was
like
black.
15 years.
Her name is Chantal. Whatever. But she came to see us perform in New York, and we were all hanging out, and we were doing this thing where we're Eleanor in Virginia,
yeah.
Which is my first her middle name. She goes by Frances, which is her middle name. Her first name is Eleanor, and my middle name is Virginia. But so that's us older.
Yes.
Wow. And we think it's hysterical.
That's so fried green tomatoes, but without the gang.
Yes.
We did it for like 8 hours, and finally Shotzi turned to us and was like, I need you two to fucking stop. Because it was 8 hours of,
stop it, Eleanor.
I'm Virginia.
I told you not to have that last drink.
I'm drunk now.
But
now
you're not deal with changing it. Your depends again.
Well, get down in there. Get in there.
She was like, just stop it. So yeah, you got your bits.
Yeah.
You with your friend, your
you
bits.
You sound like, dude, like, I don't know, white ladies at Confederate bingo. Eleanor? Where's the darkie that drives the car?
Where is Mr. Daisy?
Mr. Daisy.
Virginia.
No, right?
Oh my God, wait, speaking of Virginia, I say it was for you. Jesus. So not just Governor Blackface, but so Virginia First Lady accused of giving African American students cotton during a governor's mansion.
Again! She's done this before!
Just the black kids, just to go think about what it must have been like to be a slave.
Oh my God!
Remember, we did this story years ago. She's done it before!
Yes, yes! That's that woman! It's the wife of the governor.
Well, you can't tell me you didn't learn because the first time we ran you.
Yes.
Oh, that's awful. That is
here's
so
some cotton.
Awful.
Think about what it was like to pick this all day.
I know.
The only but I'm like I don't. Oh my God, I don't even want to think of what their private
conversations.
I can't conversations imagine. Or parties are like. No. I just see him moonwalking in blackface.
I really kind of want to see that now. I really do want to see him try to moonwalk now because I don't believe he can.
It's like prove it.
I know, right? Yeah. Like I really, and I know that's. It was wrong in that moment, but now I need to see it.
I feel like there's like a pre-show dinner every night. Just way out in the land of cotton. Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Every night.
Seriously, dude. What is going on?
We apologize. Thank God this fucking Black History Month is over. As we're taping this, it's the last day of Black History Month.
I can't take it anymore.
Oh, my God.
It's been the worst Black History Month.
Ever.
The worst. I have a question, though.
Yes.
You know,
Francis,
all the time, people.
Or Virginia or whatever your fucking name is.
That one. But here's the thing. All the time, people ask us, you know, do you fight? I mean, they don't believe. People don't believe that women can be
yes.
friends.
Oh, that's so misogynistic.
And deep friends without stabbing each mm-hmm. other in the back, treating them poorly,
yeah.
that there's a level of competition yeah. or anything
right.
like that. And it drives us crazy.
We talk about this all the time. Because we've had several, you know, other friends that have gone in and out of our lives. And man, to pass that 40-year test,
yes.
I'm telling you, it is.
You're pikers. You just have been here, what, 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. We just, like, now we're pulling the rope back up. No one else is getting in for it.
And then people try to get to us to get to the other person.
Oh,
all of our lives. Have they done that
oh,
with
yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Angela usually says, if you want to talk to Francis, you have to go through me.
You're going to have to talk to me. And I think most of your friends have figured that out.
They have.
Because you're just not going to answer the phone.
No, I'm not.
So
you're like a best friend / bouncer.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, just like, she's just not. This is the thing. One more gin and tonic and she's everybody's friend.
Well, yes. I get it.
Oh. Yes.
And you know, she is, in a loving, beautiful way, also, she is your...
Coochie concierge.
Yeah.
She's my coochie concierge.
Yeah. So she...
Wanda, I make very bad decisions.
Oh, wow. So I don't know anything about that. Shut up. Shut up.
I am the velvet rope in front of her stuff, okay?
In front of her vagina?
Oh, my God. She dated a guy whose hands were so tiny he couldn't hold a bowling ball.
Oh, my God, no.
Really?
Okay, look.
Like even a kid bowling ball?
No.
It would break his little baby hands. She called it baby hands, which in retrospect was kind of crappy.
But it was
pre-Trumpian.
I didn't notice because this is the thing, he was funny. Mm-hmm. So I have a funny thing, right? Yeah. So I have dated some misshapen, some challenging people.
Who's to say what the right shape is?
I think all of us would agree
on
this.
Grey's Anatomy says it.
Oh, yeah, it's documented.
It's documented.
But I didn't realize that his hands were, I never really noticed.
His hands were this big.
They fit in front of the rest of his
They were like
first.
Baby
yeah.
hands.
And you're like someone that that's all you see when you're driving is your tiny baby hands.
Exactly.
And just not even a head.
She can't, the day that she told me that, Frances told me that she can't actually see past the front window of the car.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh.
I was like, why do we ever let you drive? Why are you ever driving? I thought everybody knew.
Don't they still make phone books? Can we do something?
I used to sit on a phone book for years when I drove a Cadillac. And
it's like 50 iPods now to get her like fucking...
And now it's the meaning.
I wasn't sure to make a short joke or a racist joke there.
Yeah.
About
it's hard.
Kind of
it's hard when you've got just a plethora of opportunities.
Yes.
We're driving on the freeway. Pink Cadillac.
Yes. And it was pink.
That's right.
Wow. Did you work for Mary Kay Cosmetics?
No. No, but it was K.
You're
okay.
good at that.
It was pink, but it was K in copper red to be precise.
Okay.
But she also didn't have a driver's license.
No, I never had I didn't have a driver's license for like 7 years.
Wow.
I drove from four. I bought a car when I was 14 from a priest.
This is, yeah.
Wow.
Do you have division of responsibilities? Because this is the deal. Francis, I've seen Francis be able to get onto a plane with no ID post 9/11.
Wow.
Do you guys have
no,
things?
No, do it. Smile. Just smile.
It's such a skill.
Look at her.
Do you guys have different things? Like, you know that like Wanda handles this situation. You handle
Sherry
that situation.
Sherry sends me in when the big tits are needed. She's literally.
No, we're all going
to
do that.
Do you know I get the plumber or anybody else to show back up again? They're like, is Wanda here?
She's like
my tits and fix my
in the
pipes.
Living room.
Oh my God! No, this is what. Well, you know, she worked in a men's maximum security prison as a psychologist.
She's
so
amazing.
This is look at her. Like look at her. Look at her. Mm-hmm. I mean,
is that part of their punishment?
Yes.
Sure, she's your doctor. All right.
Yeah.
Right. She had to. She worked in Manson's prison. She had to be like she was the. You know, are they crazy every year? So crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
I got to talk to you about a lot.
Tell the story about the ball in the yard. Walking across the yard. She had to walk across the yard with no friggin' security.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, and you just learn you have to kind of assert your own. Power and space, and then hope for the best.
Sure. Yeah, that seems
okay.
That seems calming.
I can
calming.
Tell you
that seems
what
calming.
Stephanie, Francis, and I would do across the entire length of the yard.
We've done that just as sexy liberal.
That's right.
For no reason.
Just when they said they ran out of Chardonnay on the plane.
They were like, go back to the hotel.
I don't understand why you're flying. Mm-hmm. You ain't got no Chardonnay.
I had that happen once on a cross country flight. They're like, we don't have any more wine. I was like,
what?
No, and thank you. What? I'd even switch to like Sauvignon Blanc or some garbage like
no,
that.
No, they had no wine.
That's when I'm like, stop the plane.
Yes.
Turn around.
Turn around.
What are you doing?
Go back and get it.
Who raised you?
Yep.
what kind of a terrorist attack is this?
We pause briefly while we consider the existential health crisis we are in.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's enough pause. Go to thenewdealshop.com now. Do it now.
Everything for your COVID needs.
Yes, get all the tools in the for the tool, your COVID toolbox. I'm telling you, this is the place to go. Thenewdealshop.com. My code is sexyliberal. Here's what you get. You can get a clean phone, mm-hmm. right, that you hit... zap everything with that UV light. It also has a diffuser, so you can put your mask in there and put something like a lavender scent or eucalyptus.
It makes things smell purdy.
It's fantastic. Or the Clean Phone Pro is bigger. Your phone charges and disinfects at the same time, and all of your objects, including your mask. The Clean Phone Wand is for stuff that's too big to fit in there. You take it with you on the road. It is, just do everything. Your packages, your shoes,
your
you
steering
name it.
Wheel.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And the KN95 mask with that FDA authorized sticker that filters out 95% filtration. That's why 95 is in the C in the thing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Get it all. Get it. Thenewdealshop.com. Right now, those masks are in shop. Everything ships for free. Add the code SEXYLIBERAL. It's thenewdealshop.com. Order your supply today. Thenewdealshop.com. Don't forget, the code is SEXYLIBERAL. Okay, so where were we? Sorry, we got sidetracked, as we do, as best friends do. What were we saying about?
Walking across. Well, you just learned that when you tell the truth and you do the best you can, because mm-hmm. a lot of in prison, it sounds ridiculous. I'm talking about that. But
yeah.
In prison, respect mm-hmm. is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can see if you do your job and treat people fairly mm-hmm. and they know you're not kind of fudging it on either side,
mm-hmm. they won't then cut a bitch.
They, it's the most effective communication system I've ever seen in prison.
Really?
Oh my God. If they're in some ways, because there's so many restrictions, it's so creative in the ways that people find to communicate. Because, like, look at you two in a room or us, we don't stop communicating.
Right.
We can't stop talking, even in solitary. Mm-hmm. There were just all these inventive ways of communicating.
Right.
Oh, like the kites?
The kiting?
The kite.
Relevant questions. Is that something Donald Trump should learn?
Oh, yes.
I think he needs
to learn a few rules, more than a few.
Okay. He's really
Frances, here's my favorite thing. She has two girls. Mm-hmm. You have a little girl. Mm-hmm. There is actually a take your daughter, your kid to work day
at the prison.
And so
she literally
was like, honey, put on your stab-proof vest. We have to go across the yard.
Mommy's little stab-proof vest.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
We don't suspend it for jail.
Take your child to work day.
And I also organize tours for the hospital annual.
Okay.
I mean, the hospital, the high school.
Oh, well, you know, when I went to a Catholic all girls, I did 3 years hard time.
Yeah,
Frances and you did a much longer time than I did.
Yeah.
But my mother was the chief of the police commission at that time, and so one of my teachers, the government teacher, was like, she for some reason wanted to do a field trip to the local jail. So we did. So now this is what when I got there, I realized how fucked up this was. We're all in Catholic school girl uniforms.
Yeah.
And they took us to the county jail, and the space between the where we're walking and the cells was very small. So we're all standing there staring at them, these people in jail who are going to get transferred to prison. And there was a TV, and I remember this guy took his hand through the bars, like right past one of the girls' waists to the TV to turn the channel right next to her. And we were all like, and I remember sitting there going, what is this field trip? Are we just punishing these people more?
Yeah.
Like, this seems really fucked up and cruel. Because it's like, all we did was stare at them for a few minutes, and the warden was like, these are bad people. And then I was like, what was the point of this?
Right.
For us.
On our field trips, since I'm a psychologist, it had a different bend. You know, mm-hmm. we did show some of the safety and security things, because custody was our partner. But we also showed people that were in there for life and what they had done and what they had done in what community they had done it versus somebody, because at the time I was working in Charlie Manson prison, I was literally had a private practice in Newport Beach.
Wow.
And I was seeing patients in ADSEG at Corcoran State Prison.
Mm.
And so ADSEG is
the people that they're too crazy.
Yeah, it's the
Charlie Manson's
the
like,
prison.
I don't want to be around those people because they're too crazy.
Yeah, what does that stand? Is that a shortened?
Yeah, it's administrative segregation. And it's you're taken away from the main population for a period of time, usually because either it's not safe for other people or it's not safe for you.
Right.
That's the 5150
now,
in jail.
Now, is that where Donald Trump is going to end up? I'm just guessing.
No, Gen Pop.
I think they should just put him out in the general population to meet the people.
Yeah. Right? Yes, because he's a populist and he's made America great.
Oh, yeah. He's a dealmaker.
I think he's a dealmaker, a populist, and I think
can you diagnose? Supposed to diagnose, but a lot of psychiatrists have signed, as you know, this duty to warn.
Yes.
And that he is an absolute, like, I can't even, I don't have your amount of degrees, but diagnose the number of obviously malignant narcissist, obviously sociopath, but how would you differentiate him from the people you've dealt with in prison?
Well, I think the only difference is privilege.
Right.
I
think that is the main thing, is privilege. Yeah. Because literally when I was working in the ADSEG and Corcoran, I was working and I would look at, they'd always say, don't look at their criminal record. But I thought,
why?
I'm going to treat somebody and not look at it and not talk. No. So I would look at it and you'd see that I literally was seeing a guy at the same time in a Newport Beach private practice overlooking the bay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this guy had a little ankle bracelet and he had done the exact same thing as a young man I was treating in Corcoran's ADSEG. Mm-hmm. And he had 20 years to life.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So there is, you know, beside from all of the other discussion about it, there is, privilege is huge.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. And to me, that was like towards the beginning where I thought that this is a perfect snapshot of how deeply systemic and how really messed up our so-called justice system.
Oh, yeah.
And Donald Trump is exhibit A. Because someone just said, like, he doesn't even, that works near him. Like, he doesn't even know that he's lying anymore.
No.
Does he not know he's lying?
It's not that.
I mean, what is the sociopathic personality? Is he really, like?
I think there is a whole area that we haven't even put a name to. Mm. And yes, you have sociopath, you have malignant narcissists, all these things, but you also have what happens with privilege. And during that same time when I was working in Newport Beach, I worked with a lot of people that were just trust fund babies for either a generation or two generations. And there are some, be fair, there are some people who have inherited wealth that are responsible with it. However, most of this was this inflated sense. Not only did it didn't matter if they lied, they had a whole system that would cover up their lies or the consequences of their lies and actually elevate them for those very reasons. So you have these people had a total inflated sense.
Yeah. Well, it's like those kids in Covington.
Accomplishments.
That kid, he's suing. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's $250 million. For being a smirky little douchebag that everyone can
punk
see.
Bitch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
thank
know,
you.
And I'm like, I really, those are the moments where I'm like, please get in front of the right judge.
Yeah. But you've dealt with this your whole life. Your ex-husband,
but you see this when you go in the court system. Yeah. You see this we talked about this last time, but you see it on everything that happens, from the way women are treated on every level across all race lines, all socioeconomic, all. So there's that, and then you can't ignore the distortion when you just value one member of society to the absolute detriment of everybody else.
Yeah.
There's you don't stay healthy that way as a nation, as a person, as a people.
Look at this here, just this Michael Cohen hearing this week,
where you
needed two women of color to basically have to comfort this old white racist who was so offended, who is on tape saying, oh, we're going to send Obama back to Kenya or wherever.
Yeah.
He is a racist.
Yeah.
And we just did it was a funny Instagram skit.
Yeah. It
but
was
I mean, bringing
very
seriously a black woman that doesn't get to talk to stand behind you.
Yes.
I'm going
to
tell you something.
To try to prove Donald Trump, and because he hasn't said anything racist, when I've talked to him, he can't possibly be.
Which is the craziest thing that lack of logic.
It is so nonsensical. It's like, I don't think he could rape. He's never raped me personally.
He never raped me. It makes zero sense. It's like, how did he rob a bank? He's never stolen money from me.
Right.
It's it doesn't make any sense.
Can I just say, Mark Meadows is too ugly for Donald Trump to rape. I'm just saying.
Ooh,
he is my ugly. God.
He is ugly. But you know what? But for me, I'm sitting there going, you're going to pull a woman out in front of the nation, in front of the world, and really show that black women have no agency.
Oh, and I'm going to call her out, Frances. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call her out. This is an adult.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is an adult woman who has the power, and she does have the ability to not do something.
She don't want the fuck to do. She was like, at some point, she's like, should I still stand?
But she made an apology. Mm-hmm. She did. She's owned being there.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm happy to say the next Black People meeting, I don't know how she's going to do it.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Mm-mm. Nobody, she can't even get representation right now. Mm-hmm. That's never a good sign.
Nope.
And it's really helped my case.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, part of the whole point of, you know, this week, just because it was kind of kismet, too, that, you know, Wanda's still here. She married a 29-year-old. She's going back to Australia.
Can we stop
about that for a minute.
Yeah. Good job, by the way. We haven't even said congratulations.
Can I just say that?
That's the way to do it, girl.
Every carbon-based life form is attracted to Wanda. My dogs want to live inside her like alien. Like young guys were like crazy hitting on her. I don't know. All right.
That is a good point.
You know, you're living a good life.
Yeah.
That's a good life.
I mean, we don't want you to leave.
But somebody has to bear it. And
yes.
I'm very willing to do that.
And you do it with such grace and dignity.
Yeah.
And humbleness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Humility.
All right. He's clearly going down under. Anyway, listen, people.
Boom.
Huh. Isn't that the bare minimum requirement? Come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
29.
I tip my hat to you.
We're all sitting there going,
lost in a 29 referee.
Yep.
You know what? All right. My great aunt.
When they will let you oil them down without asking too many questions.
What? Yeah.
You know, wait, when they just let you lick them in public.
I think this is genetic. My great aunt actually married a man. She was living in Kansas, and she married a man like in the 1930s that was like 30 years her junior. Mm-hmm. She was ahead of her time.
Yeah.
But when she got old, she died at 98. Wow. The last couple of years of her life, she loved beautiful young men.
Who doesn't? I'm a venture guess that she loved him before that.
Totally.
Yeah, hello.
Where's,
her life,
where's my psychic music? Auntie? Auntie? Tell us. Because I clearly need someone to change my diaper soon.
Well, yeah.
Does Auntie know any hot lesbians?
She actually had a great plan. This young man was a friend of the family and said, if you stay and take care of me until I die, and this was, you know, she was 98, she's probably 92 when she struck that deal.
Wow.
She said, so
that's the art of the deal, man.
Yeah.
We sent her to North Korea.
That is the retirement plan I'm signing up for.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about, we've always talked about for how many years we're going to have a compound.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends have talked to their friends
because
our healthcare system being fucked, with all we're like, what shouldn't we do this? Shouldn't we
should
figure
get a
out
a couple blocks?
Yes.
Get a
A lot of my other friends independently talked about this.
20 years ago when she moved here to Los Angeles.
Thank you.
It was less than that, but a little bit. But we talked about creating a compound. And we talked
about... I lived
in
a co-op for a year in college, and...
Did you like it?
Well, yes and no. I think that what I learned about... I learned a lot about why they... at the co-op, you had to do 4 hours of work a week, and I was the only Black person who was an American. There was a co-op that had all the a lot of exchange students.
Yeah.
But I was the only Black American person in the entire co-op system at the University of Michigan at that moment. So they came to me, the board, and said... For your work, could you tell us why we can't attract more minorities? I was like, that's my work. I don't have to do dishes
really?
Or anything. And I was like, okay. So I took it very seriously. And I talked to people on campus. I talked to every student I could find of every ethnicity. And I came back to the meeting and gave my report. And they're like, what is it? And I was like, it's too white.
Here's my thing.
They just looked at me and they were like, and they would open every meeting. The guy who was the president of the co-op council at that time, he played the banjo. Mm-hmm. So he was like, he played the banjo for a second. And he goes, so what's the problem? I was like, the banjo. Right there.
That's scary.
God.
You want to repel Black people?
Yes. That's a really good way
start
to do
with
it.
The banjo.
It's like the white evangelical church's music.
It's really like bad. That. It's Appalachia bad, crazy. God. And I was like, so. And he's like, well, what do we do about that? I was like, well, if I were you, I'd pay some minorities to live here for a good 2 to 3 years, get that rumor out that it's a good place to live. Because otherwise, you can't, you got to have, it's not that if you build it, they will come. You have to build it and then have people already here.
Come. Yeah. It's like model homes. And
Well,
okay, here's the point of this week is that we saw these, AOC is a rock star.
Yes.
Rashida Tlaib is a rock star.
Fucking love
Who's the?
I love her.
All of the other.
Katie Hill was fantastic.
Katie Hill, but who's the other African American woman from? Say again. Stacey did the eye roll for The Nation.
Oh my God! Yes.
But no, the other. But no, who?
You're thinking of Stacey Plaskett?
No, but the other.
She got great hair. She's her hair.
That's racist. Don't talk about a Black lady's hair.
I'm a Black lady with hair.
I understand.
I'm
My point is, I mean, honestly, and you saw that tableau of them, right? You're like, this is what oversight looks like, and I don't
That's their job.
I'm saying I have a right winger that wrote me this week. He's like, oh, that little, you know, that little bartender girl from the Bronx. I'm like, well, you know what? That little fucking bartender girl from the Bronx just kicked your party's ass, man.
I'm sorry.
And she's going to get the president's taxes.
So here's what I love.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
No. Yeah, I was just saying, like, she's a little bartender girl. I'm sorry that she doesn't have the qualifications of being born into wealth.
Yeah, and, and that is their criteria.
Yes.
Honestly, that shows you everything about how they value people. Mm-hmm. They see anybody who has to work for a living as a chump.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you must be the biggest idiot on the planet if you actually work for
a living. But I thought, like, there really is, and we know this from the day of the Women's March, when we launched Sexy Liberal in D.C., when we thought it was going to be our Hillary victory tour, which was the day of the Women's March and Trump's inauguration.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, the Women's March through this beautiful, like, multicolored rainbow of this new Congress and these amazing, like, women not that much older than your daughters.
I know.
That are of color,
they're the smartest generation, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we have to wait for AOC to be old enough to vote for.
Is that ridiculous?
I know.
People are Googling,
so
like, can she be president now? Like,
totally.
She is. She's a flash.
That's ageism. That's arbitrary.
Yeah, she's
so
arbitrary.
If you can go fight in a war for our nation, you should be able to serve as president.
Thank you. It's absolutely everything else. We could change it.
She's a flash from the future, man. She's like, I'm an old and brittle and work in my basement. And I'm like, she inspires me.
Yes.
Yeah. She makes me hopeful. Yeah. I'm like, well, you're right. We don't need incrementalism. We need a moonshot. We need.
I just this idea that, why shoot for the moon? Because you can reach it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing that drives me crazy.
Yeah,
we
had people walk on the moon. So, we should be shooting not only to the moon, but
beyond. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. So, but here's the thing. I just wanted to play this for you guys because I just thought, like, this whole beautiful sisterhood of this new Congress, you guys, Wanda and I, all of us together, this sort of power of the sisterhood. I was looking at, like, RBG and all that. You know, she's back and all the women on the Supreme Court. And, you know, I just thought, like, this is what's going to save America. Mm-hmm. And it started from the Women's March.
Yep.
And I thought, like, it was so, we had Jane Fonda here in the seat you're sitting in. Do the meeting. Lily Tomlin face. That was my favorite picture ever.
So scary.
But Jane was here.
Stop
I thought she said such beautiful things, you guys, about female friendship, which is, you know, it's interesting. Y'all are straight. I'm gay.
Well,
what time is next?
All right. Wanda's
mixed.
I'm straight right now.
She flew it.
Oh, well, listen, how far are we into the Chardonnay? I need to borrow yours. But I just thought, I asked Travis, and it was very sweet to pull this for me. When Jane Fonda was here, I mean, obviously Lily Tomlin's a very good friend of, you know, me and the show and whatever. But if you watch Grace and Frankie, let's listen to her talk about her relationship with Lily, because this reminds me of all of us. Let's listen. Obviously, you and Lily have just been friends for so long that really translates, doesn't it, Grace and Frankie? Your chemistry just seems so effortless.
I cannot tell you what a joy and an honor it is to work with her.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I guess it's looking at you have very beautiful skin.
Oh,
Lily has very beautiful
She's
skin.
A porcelain goddess.
Yes. And so, and there's, I love it when there's times when while we're shooting and I'm dressing her or something and I can look at her skin and I can, you know, I can run my hands over her skin and say, God, you've got such beautiful skin. And I know this is being beamed out to the whole world because you don't enough see women loving on each other.
Right, and not in a gay way in your case.
Yeah, just loving each other and being there for each other. And it's such a joy to be part of that.
But, you know, and you make a good point that is what Grace and Frankie really is all about, is just this, you know, this sisterhood. This is what you're talking about, not just Me Too and Time's Up, but this blue wave, it feels really female, doesn't it? I mean, like, as you were saying, the backlash. How did you say? You said a lot of women, enough women, a tipping point of women were so stunned that a man who could openly talk about abusing women became president. I think it called up terrible memories for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, enough, it's time's up. But I also think it's all these, they saw what happened to Hillary, and it's all these women that are running. So I feel like this wave is going to be female. It's going to be Parkland kids, right? I mean, it's a whole new wave. You've been in the civil rights.
Those Parkland kids.
Aren't they amazing?
They are so brave.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but isn't that beautiful? Just
her,
you know, here she. I mean, Lily's a gay woman, obviously, but she's a straight woman. Just talking about how soft Lily's skin is, and about like touching it during like breaks in filming and just, you know, and I thought, like, that's the chemistry you see in that show. Yeah. Yeah. The same chemistry you guys have and that we have.
Yeah, well, that's, I feel bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. And maybe the gentlemen who are here could let us know. If, you know, in terms of how men and toxic masculinity, obviously, I'm glad we're finally talking about these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a name for it.
Even. Yeah.
It's patriarchy. Yeah.
But it's our patriarchy. But, like, I think as women, we've been, that's one of the places we've been allowed to have freedom is with each other. Mm-hmm. And so we can hold each other. We can hug each other. I tell all of my girlfriends I love them before we hang up. You know, mm-hmm. like, it's like, it's like, I love you. I love you. I love you. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. And I don't think men get to do that.
Well, hang on. We have a version here of rich man, poor man, but gay man, straight man. Sean is straight. Travis is gay. Is there a difference? Is there intimacy with male friendships? Because I know that my friend, Janet, you know, but I remember said, like, Steve told her that his best friend was getting married. And she's like, oh, did you talk about that? He's like, oh, no, we don't talk about stuff like that. We talk about cars.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's probably partially generational.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, like, with gay guys, I mean, like, we greet each other with hugs.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not and like kisses on the cheeks and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it's not a sexual thing. It's
right.
Just,
no, that's, it's just love.
You're comfortable with
it. It is that comfort affection. Level. And I don't necessarily know if that. But then I have my straight friends from college and I, when we see each other, it's big hugs. Mm-hmm. So it's not limited to that. And I mean, Sean probably has.
Do you
a little
say you
difference.
Love each other? Do you?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay. Despairing species. Sean Comiskey, straight man. What's everybody?
Tell us, Sean.
Sean, speaking what is it like in your world? Yes. Is it?
Wanda, please analyze.
Do you have intimacy with other men?
I mean, it's
that
like,
are not that's not sexual. What is? You're like Sasquatch here.
Greet with a hug, but it's not like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't say I love you to my friends all that often, but.
You, mm-hmm. Why don't you do it right now?
Do you have a, here's my question. Are you comfortable having a level of talking about intimate things with male friends?
Certainly. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. That's because Jess is so hot and everybody wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, your girlfriend's
too,
fucking hot. She seems totally, so amazing.
You guys are so cute.
Mm-hmm. You are.
Hi, Jess.
Most adorable
Hi, Jess.
Ever.
Okay.
So that is the generational too. What we're talking
about. I think so too.
Yeah,
I think so too. You know, my husband is an old flinty piece of coal. You
really
know what
is
I mean?
Old. He's so sweet.
You're just saying that because you love him.
I do love him. I do love him. But you know what? But I tell people this all the time. I have two marriages. I'm married to him and I'm married to Angela.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and we
our marriage
are,
is volatile.
Yes.
you're really like, what's 20%. Love got to do with it, man? You're like back in the limo. I've been with you before sexual liberal.
I've been the same.
And, that's not how I want to end that bit.
Totally.
You guys get all ratty out of the limo. I've totally. Seen you, sexy liberal, all like fucking jacked. Your hair's all jacked up.
You know, I've been giving you the big eyes, trying to communicate for you to come save me. Help me.
Yeah. Num yum rem KQ, whatever that shit you be chanting.
We're having some disputes over a couple bits.
Yeah.
You need to come help me.
Help. No, it's I do though. I want it does seem like it's I don't know. There's a space where as women we do get to be not only effusive verbally but physically, mm-hmm. like we can touch each other, we can hold each other, we can be there for each other in a way, and I really desperately hope that men can do that and that men can do that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I think that would help.
And if you're a woman who doesn't have it, go out there and get it.
You
you know, my mother used to tell me this when I was a child. She'd say, you are blessed if you have one best friend in your life. One. Mm-hmm. She was like, and you know, and I had the beauty of having an older mom who had been through a lot of friendships and a lot of people in her life and what have you. She said, if you're blessed with one, just one good friend, that's enough to be able to cherish.
It's a gift. It is a lifelong gift.
But let me ask you something. As a straight married woman, mm-hmm. Frances, this is an interesting question because, listen, Wanda, Wanda did her thesis, your doctoral thesis on the myth of normalcy.
That was a book idea.
Okay.
But there is no such thing as normalcy. There is a statistical norm just in mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, as far as human behavior, it is a misnomer to think that to ever try to put a category of normal that you would do on statistics, because that's saying I'm just going to cut right down the middle.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's interesting for mathematics, but what about all these variations on the side? Well, and for human beings, we are a spectrum.
Right, and also, Francis, my point to you is that we were talking about that, you know, they always say this, there's a spectrum, right, of, you know, some people are gay, straight, a lot of us are somewhere in the middle, and a lot of pretty feminine women I know that I have dated have, and I've been with men, or I don't even know how to say this, right, but you go, you know, it's not because they're not attracted to men. That's the first thing my mother said to me. My 96-year-old mother was like, oh, Steffi, you're so pretty. Aren't you attracted to men? I was like, yes, I am, but I fall in love with women. But I get my intimacy with women because a lot of women of our generation have found men are not as supportive. I remember dating other male comics that were like, you make in a, you know, in an hour what I make in a year. And I thought, oh, wow, this is not going to work.
Right.
There's like too much threatening. There's too much, you know, like women in my experience just were more supportive. But do you feel like that's part of what makes your marriage work? Because you have...
I have a best friend.
Intimacy, too. Like in another...
Oh, let me tell you.
I mean, because your husband sounds
great. From the 1950s did as well.
Let me tell you what this Negro has said to me. He has said to me, I've been trying to tell him something about going on with me. He goes, don't you have a friend to talk to about it? Isn't that what she for?
Wow.
Yes, I do. He's like, I mean, I will listen
you
to him for 5 minutes.
That's the real fantasy of two women with a man.
Yes.
Is that she can talk to the other woman. Yes.
Well, this is the thing. Very few people actually meet Tom.
No.
And it's one of those things where people don't believe he exists.
Fake. Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we
they don't believe a, they don't okay. believe he exists.
I have met him and he's fantastic.
He is. He's the nicest man, but he is very old school, and he's a homebody. And he's like, here's the thing. I think he's actually thrilled that I have a best friend.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a lot of pressure off of him.
And I have to say this, since we're talking about friendships, is that in with a marriage, you cannot depend on one singular person.
For everything.
For everything. To provide everything for you. You have to have... you know, outlets and other people and other places to place your love and to receive other things. If my expectation was from my husband to fulfill me thoroughly as a person, we would have problems.
Yes. Yeah.
Or me. I mean, I get closer, clearly.
Hey, family can be interesting, right? And
fun
and complicated and... wow. Listen, Ancestry.com can tell you the why of a lot of that, right?
Sure.
Ancestry.com can reveal ethnic origins, provide historical details that bring unique family stories to life, right? Ancestry DNA doesn't just tell you which countries you're from. It also can pinpoint the specific regions within them, giving you insightful geographic detail about your history and more ammunition to hurl at your relatives at Thanksgiving.
Oh, great.
Trace the paths of your recent ancestors. Learn how and why your family moved from place to place around the world. I always assumed running from the law, but not necessarily. Okay. No other DNA test delivers such a unique interactive experience. It's easy to start making discoveries with Ancestry.com. Grab an Ancestry DNA kit and start a free trial to amplify your discovery with Ancestry's billions of records.
Wow.
Do it now. Start exploring your family story. Head to my URL at Ancestry.com/liberal. Get your Ancestry DNA kit. Start your free trial. Ancestry.com/liberal. Do it now. All right. Do you feel like, Angela, part of, like, does the intimacy with Francis, what is it? Because I've dealt with this myself, like, prevent you from finding your
person.
Intimate romantic partner?
You know what? I think that I think that's valid, and I do think that that could be true for people.
I'm talking to myself now.
I know. Yeah. But for me, and I think everybody here will back me up on this, I feel okay with, I you know what I mean? Like, it's not, do you see me with any, like, this is the thing. Like, I'm okay with where I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was single, before I got with Dylan, my opinion was, yeah, I'm single, but I'm not lonely.
Well, that could be
I
you.
Never
That's
felt
it.
Alone.
I am lonely. I am lonely. Except for Jamie.
And I wanted to have that one person that was my person. But, I didn't feel lonely. And
well, that's the thing. I have friends who say to me, I have friends, and I am blessed to have a lot of really good friends. And they've said, a few of them have said to me things like, oh, we can get concerned that you don't have a primary, that terminology.
That's, but that's so, that is right. Such an old-fashioned idea.
I think so, too.
I just see that as not recognizing who you are on the spectrum of things. Like, right. You can literally have deep, intimate, fulfilling, satisfying relationships with anybody. There's a certain chemistry, and mm-hmm. Yes, do it over a lifetime, maybe have a handful or two of people, friends, lovers, right. That you have a deep connection.
I see myself a little bit in Angela, though, just, you know, straight and gay, but...
But she's happy.
You're a lot to handle, and so am I. But you yes. And I mean that in the
in
most
a great,
way.
No, I would.
Yeah,
add,
you are so smart and so funny and so
beautiful. You are
and,
too.
But no, so but this is what I dealt with I mean, men. Mm-hmm. At least yes. I dealt with men. Is that men were you
and
know?
Some women
I mean, I remember
too,
a lot
honestly,
of women
too
no,
much.
But a lot of men said to me, like, you scare the shit out of men. Yeah. Like you're too. Like,
which is such
that's
a ridiculous
what
idea.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. This German dude, and I was like,
"Oh my god,
what the fuck?"
You didn't reach.
But don't
people have problems?
Feel like there's got to be someone that just we're just the right amount for.
Yeah,
maybe. And I, but this is the thing. What I do know is that I have like 10 primaries. Yeah. Like I have people who love me and care about
that's
me. Who,
my girl.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's great
so
to
great.
Have. Like, you know what I mean? Like
that's so great.
I have a bunch of primaries, and I don't mean just like. And obviously, right. Francis is my best friend, like my soulmate.
Yeah, it's a
you
whole
know?
Different category.
But,
like, yeah.
but is that a problem? Because I feel like Wanda's my soulmate.
Yes.
Is that a problem with meeting a soulmate?
I have had
a romantic soulmate.
But you know what? I've had people suggest it. I have had different therapists, not my current one. She's better.
Yeah.
Say that, and I think that that's a weird way of saying I actually have won this argument recently
yes,
with my psychiatrist.
You did.
I did a lot of research, but that making the choice to be alone romantically is for me about a decision. And it's not that I'm saying that like I'm not open to that, but I feel the same way. Like you deserve to have what you want and to have what you need and what you're looking for. And it doesn't mean that you're not saying you don't want to have that kind of relationship. What you're saying is I don't want to just have a romantic relationship to have a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Cause you could do that easily.
It's fairly sexist too. I think the reason that gay men have faced even more restrictions and prejudice and animosity is because of sexism and misogyny. Women just aren't respected. So if you two women want to be together, who the hell cares? Like
there's
a lot of the laws are only around gay men.
Yeah, that is threatening.
And
this culture.
And there's something I think if you have a deeply connected, intimate relationship with another female, if it's not platonic, that's a little more accepted. But there still is an idea that you need a man or you need something
it's
more
Golden
substantial.
Girls, right? I think about the show Golden Girls, and I'm like,
oh, I want to do a remake of that. Like for the women I know. Oh my god, the women
like, but
I
you
know.
You think about how amazing that is. That basically, what they said is that women. But do you see that when the equivalent for men would be the Odd Couple?
Yeah,
you know, it's a very different relationship. Yeah. They're adversaries.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they you understand that they kind of have a love for each other that they don't know they have. Mm-hmm. Sort of like you feel like you're more aware of
and
it than they are.
And they can't handle it.
But it's the same. I do feel that. I feel like you know, it's hard when you make a decision that I'm not going to be in a relationship just to be in a relationship. People critique you for it.
I made that decision when I was raising my daughters. I thought I'm working full time and I'm raising my daughters by myself. So,
and you went with a classically handsome guy.
Well, it was a total psychopath.
Who ended
but
up being Satan.
Yeah.
Satan would be attractive.
Yeah. I would hope.
Well, what's the allure otherwise?
Right.
But still, you know, there is, I think at any juncture of your life, if a woman says, I'm by choice choosing to be single or not to have lovers at the time, whatever it may be.
Or maybe it's a Great Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Who's
whatever
judging?
It is.
Sean.
Yeah, that woman making that decision is dangerous in this society.
No, absolutely.
She's
absolutely.
Yeah. No,
and I think
I get that.
That's
no,
why
because I've
so
never needed
pressure.
A man. I've been attracted to men. I've worked with men all my life. I love men.
Mm-hmm. But you've stuck your tongue in a few ears.
Yeah.
Oh, I've stuck my tongue in yours. I mean,
that's not even.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, barking and tonguing up the wrong tree.
Mm-hmm.
but no, you're right. Like it's such an interesting conversation we're having about, you know, intimacy and female friendship and, you know, how that plays into, you know, and again, just in terms of my, you know, point about sexual spectrum about like, yes, I'm attracted to men. I love men. I fall in love with women. But you go, is that part of because they're more... Yeah. Like, you guys are supportive and like, nurturing. And
you're getting what you need.
And because you and I, Angela, are too much for most men.
No, like, unequivocally. And they've said it to me directly.
Yes.
So it's not even like I'm making it up. Mm-hmm. But this is the thing. I think getting your having your needs met and being able to come to somebody free of needing them and but wanting them isn't for me, like, I'm not willing... At this point, I could be in.
Absolutely,
people have asked me to marry them. I could be in a relationship. Like, but the thing is, I just don't want that.
Yeah.
And that's having those needs met with a friend mm-hmm. has freed me from the need to fake like
and
I have it anywhere else.
And make sure
that is woman. Mm-hmm. That is a dangerous woman. Like that idea that look, I unto myself. And my other choices, I am fine unto myself. It is so amazing. I mean, you look at violence against women, just the whole systemic misogyny, mm-hmm. everything. And it is so amazing that people just don't want to allow women to just be. Like, what phenomenal beings must we be, and the feminine part of men? Mm-hmm. What phenomenal force must the feminine force be that people all over the world have tried to suppress it.
Yes.
Like, what the hell are we made of? Even men, the feminine part of men.
I'm a dangerous spinster, but George Clooney, dangerous before he got married, was a hot bachelor who couldn't be caught. And it's like, it's the most ridiculous concept. You know, it's the most ridiculous concept in the world because I just don't want to settle for some bullshit relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Shimonda knows, like, my last girlfriend was very beautiful, Ivy League, whatever. And I just thought, like, you're right. I mean, none of us want to be. The human condition is you want to be loved.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to be alone. And you want
They're
someone to spoon.
Beings.
And you want someone to, you know. But, I mean, Angela, I can't wait to meet the man that is
worthy of
you're worthy of you. Yes, yes.
You guys
I think
some hopeful
you are
bitches.
No, but you. No, that's what I said. But, listen, I said this week on the air, if it weren't for False Hope and Chardonnay, I wouldn't be here. But no, but my best friend believes in me, and I know that that Francis believes in you. That you're going to find that.
People, and I think you're the same way. It's not that we're not. I'm not open to it. I know you're not. I know
you don't
you're
require
open to it.
You don't require it. This is the thing.
To me, I enjoy me.
Exactly.
I enjoy my life and my friends, and I enjoy. Like, I have a friend who isn't really interested just into being alone, and so she's very confused by times when I'm alone.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you do? And I was like, a lot of things. Like, I don't even know how to answer that. I've got like hobbies and interests. And I get it. I get that for people in this culture that you're supposed to pair up.
Yes.
I get that not doing that.
But
is
we
weird.
Have in some ways. You've paired with her and I've paired with
her.
And we have so many of our sort of intimacy
and
emotional
the renegade
needs.
Part of us.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's like Handmaid's Tale dangerous to these people.
It is.
Because
that's the thing.
They act like you're like doing something fucked up. And I'm like, seriously, I don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. I am not alone. Yeah. I have you.
Absolutely.
I have so many people who care about me and who I care about. I am privileged and blessed in whatever words you use.
Absolutely.
And Tom is amazing, Francis.
You're right.
You might feel
you may never meet
alone
him. He is amazing.
And here's the thing. I am lucky enough to have found paired up with a man who isn't threatened by me being too much, who celebrates it, who wants to, he's thrilled when we're cutting up.
And I know men like that.
Yeah. And he's happy for me. He's happy about I out earned my husband by, I'm going to say, 3 to 4 times.
That's a confident man.
When we're working.
When we're working.
When we're not working, he's paying for everything we do.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Let's give him that credit because he's paid for some lovely lunches, and I would like to thank you.
Yes. But he is not threatened by my relationship with Angela either.
Of course not. Yeah. He's like not only is he like a brother to me, you know, but he seriously, like, one of my favorite things is I'm talking to Francis and I can hear, well, now Abby too.
Oh, God.
Tom and Abby, they're hearing
Abby
her
is Francis' daughter.
She's about to be 13.
Yes. 12.
And Wanda, your daughters are?
21 and 24.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's so basic to hear, because I'll hear they're only hearing her half the conversation, but they have commentary. So I can hear their it's hysterical.
Yeah,
you know
they have old people arguments, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know we don't fight about money. What people regularly fight about.
These are the calls I get. Angela, would you talk to Tom for a minute? She's like,
A man should be able to put papers down in his own home and have those papers be where he left them.
You haven't even looked at those papers. They just failed. You haven't even looked at those papers. And then, that's not why I don't want to have a coffee table. To have a little.
A man should have it his home.
And I'm like, both y'all are stupid. Like, I can't.
She hates being in the car with us, too.
Oh, my God. They're the worst. Neither of them want to get on the freeway. They both, like, they won't make so left turns without a light. They're like... They're both. People. I'm not kidding. Tom has this thing where he's got to pass by their apartment every time, no matter where we're driving. Like, it's just like they are seriously the stereotype, and I don't want to offend anyone, but this stereotype of the elderly driver, both of them.
Oh,
and then the true. Whole ride you deal with. Oh.
Well, that's. I'm just saying your turn is coming up in 5 miles.
I know it's coming up.
But it's in fact, it's coming
up. Don't you look in the right lane.
I know it. I will get in the lane when I want to, woman.
I'm just saying, if you want.
It's horrible.
Me and Dylan in the car, too.
Is it? Oh, my God.
Wow.
But we drive fast and we don't drive by the apartment every time, and we are not afraid to get on the freeway.
Oh, we love you guys.
Green book on crack. All right.
So annoying.
All right. So let's, Wanda, can you give us some parting advice for, as a psychologist, because there's been so many stories about everybody's normal life stress and substance issues and whatever the fuck they are on top of this Trump stress, this total chaos, the country. Being in a relationship with a borderline personality disorder, what do you tell your patients?
You know, the most important thing is that you do listen to and honor your own needs, whatever they may be. We are not cookie cutter people. We all de-stress different ways. We all need different kinds of bonds. And it was very important. It's the old adage, know thyself, that it is really important to know what you need and to not judge yourself based on everyone else or how they do relationship. How they identify, really come to know yourself, because that is the beauty. Like, look at us. We're all kind of outliers in a way.
Yeah, we scream at MSNBC together. Yeah. That's what keeps us alive. We're like, Chuck Todd, asshole.
Ask a question. No, but there is this sense that through it all, we all have a very strong sense of ourselves. And even us meeting at such a young age, you guys meeting at such a young age, we didn't have a clue who we were, but there was some through line of this ability to absolutely adore another human being and honor another human being and say, I love how bizarre and unusual you are. It's like, I love how weird you are. Right. It's like there is this affection for not only loving yourself and knowing yourself, but being able to identify the others that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't do that if you're trying to fake it. Or try to be something some group thinks you should be.
This is a group psychological event, isn't it? This Trump presidency.
Absolutely. It is like the group bad boyfriend, pervy uncle, everything coming out of the closet, all the systemic, the racism, the animosity towards women, men, ages.
Like, it's like an X-ray
everything.
Or something. It's like a you know, like but a CAT scan or something.
Right, right.
Like
MRI.
An MRI of everything with this country.
It's horrifying, but good.
How do we put it back? I mean, how do we put back the racism, the misogyny?
We don't put it back. You don't
glean this. How do we? I mean, who? Huh? What?
They involve. Look, I'm just saying threats work. I'm just saying.
That's what? Right back. That's
awesome. No, listen, they don't. Yeah. But yeah. You were just saying we can't.
Well, I don't think we should put it back. It's like saying you're in the emergency room and you've gotten bullet wounds and they're opening you up to take the bullets out. It's like, no, we don't want to just pretend it didn't happen.
Right.
We want to see what the shit is in there. We want to see where are the wounds? Where is all the internal bleeding?
How do we stamp out Trumpism?
How do we expose this in a way this needs... We all understand it's always been happening and how egregious it is.
Well, this is the thing I will say, and there was another way to have learned this, but it is the first time in my life as in this country in my life that when I say something happened and I think it was racist, I don't immediately get, well, maybe it wasn't. Or maybe it wasn't. Yeah. Are you sure? Because maybe they didn't. Because they're seeing... You know, we have all these videos of white people, unfortunately, a lot of white women calling cops on black people for existing.
For existing.
And it's and being threatened by your mere existence. And when you're born wrong, when you're born a crime, you can't get away from that. And so it's trying to explain to people, because my entire life up until now, you know, I would say, I'd talk about my experiences through the day. The most well-meaning people would tell me, well, you don't really know. I'm sure that's not what they were thinking. Maybe something else was going on.
But that's crazy making. That's like a kid being abused in their home, being told, oh, your dad's the nicest person. We all love him. And meanwhile, he's abusing them behind closed doors. That is actually detrimental to somebody.
It's absolutely
invalidate their truth.
What got me about it always, and I would say this to people, was actually the person in the story you know is me.
Yes.
You've known me for 10 years. I'm talking about a stranger, and you're more willing to believe that I am going off on some crazy limb, having known me for however long you've known me, than to believe that some strange white person in America, strange, I mean, in terms of like, we didn't know each other.
Right,
wasn't raised. Yes. Like, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Somehow
is
it's crazy to assume racism in America.
Yeah, but that's
like, crazy. Serious?
It's crazy not to assume racism.
Yeah,
I mean, that is ridiculous. When you have these systemic prejudices from women, from age to race to whatever it is, it's so interwoven in our society.
Yep.
The most crazy-making thing you can do to somebody experiencing these horrible realities is to tell them it's not true or to try to minimize
it. I mean, friends, you're only people care.
Yeah, you're only protecting. That's that person's discomfort with that in their own lives. Yeah.
Frances, do you, again, everything we're talking about, did your daughter, who is
12,
watch these hearings and see these amazing young women of color? And how is she processing all of this?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. One of the things is she watches the news all the time because I'm watching the news all the time.
Yeah. Because your mom's a nerd.
Mom's a nerd, and she knows more about politics than, you know, most adults. And she is, you know, she's incredible, and she's watching it, and this is, like, permeating. This time is permeating through her. Like, you know, a person came to her school, Michael Fiore, I think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, came to her school.
It's the city attorney.
The city attorney came in, and he had an agenda to talk about. She says, let's talk about the homeless.
Good for her.
I want you to talk about the homeless and tell us what we're going to do about that. And so when you have an AOC and you have a 12-year-old watching her, and when you have a Maxine Waters, and you have the 12-year-old watching her, the 12-year-old gets
the
a voice.
We shouldn't engage in. AOC is just as awesome as Maxine Waters.
Exactly.
That's what's part of this beautiful female wave.
They try to knock her out, you know. They try to say, I mean, Maxine Waters has been saying since the onset, this man should be impeached.
Mm-hmm.
He's a criminal.
Her face when she came out of the classified hearings was like, I don't want to say white, but
ashen.
She said, I am not going to this inauguration. This is not a legitimate president.
Yeah.
And there are people like her and Malcolm Nance and all of these people that have been doing this. Joy Reid, that have been Rachel Maddow. All these people are doing this clarion call.
Yeah,
for 3 years.
Yeah,
that we've all been. You know, now that we're all like, oh, that was true.
And
I need
people to say it. I do. I need people to be like, sorry, Maxine, we were wrong, because they called her crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they literally talked about that's insane, and I'm like, no, it wasn't.
She's reclaiming her time.
Well, it's the same thing.
You know what? We're all reclaiming our time.
I'm reclaiming my time. I'm reclaiming my time.
And they don't believe women. Like, you, everyone you named are women.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Yeah.
You want to speak on the battles I've won, but I'm reclaiming my time. All right. That's not why I brought you here to share it. I'm reclaiming my time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't read my resume because I was there. I'm reclaiming my time.
Yeah, we're reclaiming my time. Do we want to do
that
sisters?
That was us
sisters,
singing. That was, by the way, that was the four of us.
Like that.
Yeah, that was
singing.
We should have lip synced.
But it's true. It is our time, man. Whether you're 80, like Maxine Waters, or, you know, almost Nancy Pelosi, or you're AOC, and you're 29, man. Yeah.
And I think most women understand that. We want all the women. We want all of our sisters that are in each generation. We need them.
Oh, what?
We need the women of all different generations, every single one of them. This is the only way we're going to get over all this, because if they can pit us against each other, they can keep it cracked and not united.
Yes. Explain to me how majority is a minority.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And we all know the truth. Yep. Whether you choose to just keep aligning with your oppressors or not, we all
drag
know the truth.
With you. We're going to go get that black so-called friend and we're going to re-educate her.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're sisters doing it for ourselves.
That's what sisters do. It's like, okay, we can re-educate her.
She's young. She made some mistakes. Yeah.
We probably also need... What's the other one?
We are family.
Come on, let's go old school.
Yes.
That's our old one. We do.
This is my ringtone for my sister.
That should be ours for us.
Get up, everybody, and dance
and vote.
Yes. Yeah, vote. Thank you.
Yes.
I love all of you.
Happy, happy hour. I love all of you. Frangela, thank you so much for doing this very special happy hour. This very special best friends happy hour with Wanda Von Kleist, my best friend, Francis and Angela. Just Frangela Duo. Add Frangela Duo. King of beauty and nature.
Amazing.
Happy hopper, everyone.